The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
Several years ago, we were blessed here at Zion Church to have Elder Chris Taylor of Vero Beach, Florida with us one fifth Sunday. He took us over to chapter 6 of Luke and brought us a powerful message from one of Jesus' first public sermons. He expounded upon the parable of the man who built his house upon the rock rather than the sand. Join us today for the first half of this sermon entitled, Digging Deep.
How sweet the
chapter 6, verse 46. And it says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So we see here at the end of his sermon, he gives an admonition through this parable to not only hear the sermon, but actually do what's said in the sermon. A lot of people like to come to church to hear the sermon, and then that's the extent of their Christian discipleship. But he says here that we must go a step further. Not only hear, but do. And he makes the comparisons of those that are just hearers and those that hear and perform the word of God. Here in the parable of the two houses, if you will, if you can picture a subdivision with two houses. There's one house that is built upon the rock. The other house is built upon the sand. But Luke's imagery is very detailed here, much more detailed than in the Sermon on the Mount. Because here we have the wise man not only just building a house on the rock, it tells how he got to the rock. He had to dig to get to the rock. And not just dig, he had to dig deep. And it required patience and required a lot of hard work and it required sweat equity. So he had to dig deep down to lay the foundation of his house upon the rock. And once he built that house upon the rock, then his house was secure. And he could have a lot of confidence because when the storm came, or in Luke's account, when the flood comes and the stream beats vehemently against that house, he has nothing to fear because if he's built his house upon the foundation of the rock, then nothing will shake that house. In contrast, he says the foolish man builds his house upon the loose soil. He builds his house upon the sand. He doesn't work hard. He doesn't put any sweat equity into his house. So that when the storm comes, the foolish man's house and everything is washed away. And to summarize here, he's saying if we obey Christ, our house will be built upon the rock and nothing will shake it. If we do not obey Christ, it is just like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And he concludes this sermon here with some detailed imagery. He says, "And against which the stream did beat vehemently, and the immediately what happened to the house? Immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And there, boom, he ends the sermon. He ends the sermon with the echo of the collapsing house of the foolish man here. Now we see here that Christ taught a lot in parables. Now, parables are sort of misunderstood by the world. If you ask someone what a parable is, someone might say, well, it's an easy story about earthly events so that the story can be understood by everyone. In fact, that's the exact opposite. That is not the purpose that Christ used in employing parables. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He says in Matthew chapter 13, he says, "I teach in parables," because his disciples asked, "Why do you teach us in parables?" Christ said, "I teach you in parables so that you may know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but that they would not." So he taught in parables so that the children of God, those that have hearing ears, those that have been born again by the Spirit of God, because those are the only ones that the gospel message appeals to, those with spiritual hearing, He says, those that have spiritual hearing can hear and understand, and they can learn once I explain the parable to them. So the parable wasn't an easy story so that the masses could understand the lesson taught by Christ. No, this parable was taught so that the disciples of Christ, and only the disciples of Christ, would understand the message of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Because the mysteries of the kingdom of God, my friends, is not for the world. They don't like it. They don't want it anyway. They don't want to understand it. But they can't understand it because they don't have the hearing necessary to understand it. But the spiritual message is to us, the disciples of Christ, who can hear, who can understand. In fact, we love it. And we want to know more about Christ. More about Jesus do I want to know, so that I can emulate him. I can walk in his footsteps. Some of the hymns we sang this morning, right? It's walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a parable. A parable was a longer story. It is a longer story in order to teach the disciples of Christ a message. Now, that is not the same as a metaphor. A metaphor can be just some brief imagery, like we see in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The writer there uses a metaphor in order to teach us more about the character of Jesus Christ. He describes Jesus Christ as a shepherd. A shepherd leads his flock. A shepherd protects his flock. A shepherd knows his sheep one from another. He knows them by name. He leads them away from poisonous plants and brings them to the good pasture. If one of them gets separated from the flock, he goes out and gets that little lamb and brings him back to the fold. These are all metaphors of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. In the Sermon on the Mount, he calls us the salt of the earth, right? Well, how are we the salt of the earth? This is a metaphor. What are the attributes of salt? Salt gives flavor, right? Brothers and sisters, you and I and the elect of God give flavor to this world. And once the flavor is gone, you know, what's going to happen to this place that we inhabit? Salt has a preservative nature, doesn't it? And I'm telling you, this earth and the sin-cursed earth is preserved by the salt that's in it. But there's coming a time when Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to take us from the sin-cursed earth and he's going to burn it up with fervent heat. But so long as we're here, we ought to have the seasoning, we ought to have the preservative nature, we ought to be the salt of the earth. Now, those are metaphors, but here he is using a parable in order to teach us a lesson. And if I have a title to my sermon this morning, it is this, is that we need to dig deep. We need to dig deep as disciples of Christ, all of us. Not just the young, not just the veterans, but all of us continually need to dig deep for the foundation that we know is Jesus Christ. Now, as we said before, Jesus Christ prays all night, chooses his apostles, then immediately begins the sermon, which teaches us the moral commandments of Jesus Christ that we are to not only listen to, but adhere to in our daily lives. He gives the admonition not only to hear what is preached, but to implement it in our lives by this parable. In other words, he's telling us that Christianity and the rules of Christianity, the commands of Christ, are not like the Golden Corral. Do y'all have Golden Corrals up here? Never heard of it. Well, the Golden Corral is like this big buffet, and you can just pick and choose what you want. So Christian life is not like a Golden Corral. The Christian life is not like a Chinese buffet. I'll take a little bit of this. I'll take a little bit of that. Don't like that part. I don't want it all. No, the Christian commands of Christ, we have to take it all. Yes. We preach a full gospel. Now, let's begin reading our parable line by line, okay? Here he starts off with a question in verse 46. He says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Good question, right? You call me not just Lord, but you call me Lord, Lord. You know, we're giving you lip service, but are, you know, you're all talky, but where's the walkie, right? you call me Lord, Lord. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, was Christ asking this question for information? Christ never asked a question for information. One of his attributes is that he's all-knowing, correct? He's omniscient. He knows everything. He never asked, never did ask a question to, in order to get information. In fact, he always asked a question in order to instigate something. Not information, but instigation. We can see that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, where Adam and Eve are in the garden. Everything's wonderful until what happens, right? They partake of the fruit. They finally realize they're naked. And what do? They make themselves aprons of fig leaves and they go hide in the woods. Go hide behind a tree. Because they hear the voice of God walking in the cool of the morning. Isn't that foolish to think you can hide from God? Boy, I don't know. Is this tree big enough to hide from God? We better pick that thicker one over there. Maybe that'll do it, you know. They're over there cowering in the woods. And God asked the question, Adam, where art thou? Do you think God didn't know where Adam was? He wasn't asking that question for information. It was for instigation. In other words, Adam, where are you? Adam, you were up here, but now you're down here. Adam, you were in a paradise, and the only job you had in the garden was dress it and keep it. Now you wrapped yourself up in fig leaves, and you're hiding behind a tree. Adam, where are you? He knew where he was. He wanted Adam to think about where he was. And that's the same thing Jesus Christ does here in the beginning of this parable. He wants you to think. He says, you call me Lord, Lord. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Fairly simple proposition, but simply profound, is it not? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That reminds me over in John chapter 13 and verse 13. Jesus Christ says, and you call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. Remember that John 13 is the great foot washing chapter of the Gospels? He says, you call me Master and Lord, and you do well, for so I am. But if I am your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. Yes. Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? You call me Lord, Lord, why don't you do the things that I say? And in John chapter 13's case, why don't you do the things that I do? And then it still amazes me that not all old Baptists wash feet. I mean, he says it pretty clear there. You call me Lord and Master. If that's so, then do what I say and do what I do. Now, let's go to verse 47. He says in verse 47, he says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. First of all, who is he talking to? We need to know who our audience here. Well, he says, whosoever. Whosoever. Does that mean whosoever inhabits the earth? Can everybody without discrimination there? No. He defines his audience. He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, then I will show you to whom he is like. First of all, he says, there's somebody that comes to me. Not everybody can come to Jesus Christ, correct? Now, the world tells us everybody can come to Jesus Christ. No, that is not right at all. He tells us in John chapter 6, verse 44, he says, no man can come to me. No man can come to me except my Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. In fact, the Bible is, you cannot trust the philosophy of the world. The philosophy of the world is most of the time exactly opposite than the truth of God. Every man can come to Jesus Christ. Scripture says no man can come to Jesus Christ except my Father, which has sent me. Draw him, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. So we've defined our audience, haven't we? Only those ones drawn by the Father to the Son, Jesus Christ, can implement this parable, implement this command of Christ. He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, then I will show you to whom he is like. Now, it's easy to say, brothers and sisters, isn't it? But it's hard to do. Love your enemies. Easy to say. Do good to them. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Pretty hard to do, right? This is not just somebody who says something behind your back. This is somebody who despitefully uses you, seeks to ruin your life. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like that or not, inside or out, inside the church or outside of the church. But if you've had that experience, I'll tell you what, brothers, so I'll preach on Sunday mornings, and there will be 10 people who will compliment me on the sermon. One person will come by and criticize me about what I said. Guess what I'm thinking about all day Sunday? I'm not thinking about the 10 people who enjoyed the sermon. I'm thinking about that one person who criticized me. And that thing's just going around and around and around, right? Well, this is sort of mild compared to what he's talking about here. He says, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. That's hard stuff. That's the reason we need a parable. That's the reason we need to dig deep. This is no shallow life. You know, a lot of us are shallow. I'm shallow in many parts of my life. I'm about 2 inches deep and 2 miles wide in many parts of my life. But I need to get deep, brother. Right, Matt? Brother Matt, I need to get deep. I don't need to be shallow anymore. I need to start digging. Because if I am going to be the proper follower, disciple of Jesus Christ, I can't be a surface dweller. I got to start digging. And it's hard work. It takes patience. It takes sweat equity. It's easy to just to set up a shack on loose soil and just start living. It's tough to dig down deep and dig down to the foundation. It's tough. You know, there's the old story about the two drunks that were in town and they just had a big snoop full and they're trying to make it back home and they're on the railroad track and they're crawling on the railroad tracks side by side. One of the drunks looks over at the other and he says, you know, I sure am tired of climbing this ladder. The other drunk looks at him and says, man, I am tired of climbing this ladder too. I don't know, when are we going to get to our floor? And he says, I don't know, just keep climbing. The other one says, oh, don't worry about it. He looks behind him and says, don't worry about it, I see the elevator's coming. Now, I tell you that to get your attention, and also to make a point, is that when Christ gives us a command, you know, it's tough. These are tough commands. These are tough. Because God did not make our lives convenient. He did not give us convenient children. He didn't give us a convenient job. He didn't give always, you know, internally, what are the things we're dealing with? Depression, emotions, friends, family. These are not easy things to deal with, and they're tough. But what we have to understand is God is not allowing us to experience this in a vacuum. He is our fellow yoke person, right? He's right there with us. If he gives us a command, he's not going to leave you high and dry out to perform it all by yourself. What he does want is faith, right? He wants us to step out on faith. And then we have a God, brothers and sisters, that is an involved God. He is a supernatural God. And he assists us with supernatural power. Do you believe that or not? He tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he says, he that cometh to me must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I'm not a health and wealth TV evangelist preacher that says, you know, sow your seed money and your life will be a bed of roses. Mm-mm. This is not what this parable is about. But I do believe God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And God has given us certain promises. And He will give us His supernatural assistance when we step out on faith. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What are the things that are going to be added unto you? He says, he was making comparison. He said, "Think not tomorrow what I shall drink or what I shall eat or how I shall be clothed." He says, "Sufficient is the day is the evil thereof." But he says, he's not saying, of course we're going to think about make plans. But what he's saying is, he says, is that the Greeks, he says, don't be like the Greeks who that's all they think about. What am I going to drink? What am I going to eat? How am I going to be clothed? He says, "Don't. That's not your priority. This is your priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." The necessary things of life, brothers and sisters, are yours if you seek God first. Now, do you either believe that or you don't?
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow, where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.